Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, six lines down. The Gemara suggests here, Lema Kitanei. Let us suggest here that this is a Machloket Tanaim with regards to the ability to be Makdish and Eved. But what happens when you're Makdish and Eved? Does the Eved become Kadosh, the Damav? Nobody suggests that the Eved becomes inherently Kadosh because you can't have Kedushat the Guf. Actually, nobody says that he becomes Kadosh like Kedushat Berekabayit, which is like Karka or Behemat Meyah, where the object becomes Kadosh, and then you sell the object for its value. The only thing people suggested was that possibly he's Kadosh L'damav, for his monetary value. And again, that's to the benefit of Hekdesh, because if Hekdesh owns the Eved, there's a risk that the Eved dies. There are other risks involved where Hekdesh can lose. If the consecration to Hekdesh is simply the value of the Eved, then they can't lose, because even if the Eved passed away, no matter what happens to the Eved, the Adon still owes the value of the Eved to Hekdesh. Or the other possibility, which is what we saw that Rav believed, that when you Makdish the Eved, you actually free the Eved. So the question is, which of those two is correct? Now the Gemara is suggesting maybe this is a Machloket Tanaim as to whether you can be Makdish the Eved. Makdish Avdo, Ein Mo'alim Bo. Person is Makdish his Eved, there is no Isur Mi'ilah. Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Mo'alim Bise'aro. There is Mi'ilah with his hair. My love, Bahal Kamiflige, let us suggest that this is their machloket. Demar Savar Kadosh, Umar Savar Lo Kadosh. Very straightforward. Their machloket is whether, when you're Makdish the Eved, what happens? According to the Tanakamo, Ein Mo'alim Bo, there is no Mi'ilah because there was no Hekdesh associated with this Eved. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel believes that there is a Hekdesh associated with this Eved, and therefore there's Mi'ilah in his Seyar. Now this does have implications, even though the Gemara is about to reject this. This has implications in terms of Mi'ilah, which is the fact that if something is deemed to be Karko, Mechuber the Karko, despite that fact, if you detach something from it, it is subject to Mi'ilah. In general, we're going to see this in a second, there is no Mi'ilah with regards to Karko, and therefore anything that's Mechuber the Karko, there's no misappropriation of Hekdesh that obligates you in Mi'ilah. But if you sever an object from the karka, then it is subject to mi'ilah. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says here, based on the fact that we're saying that his se'ar, his hair, is kadosh. And we're going to see in a second that the Gemara is going to speak about the Eved in terms of karka. And for this, he proves the fact that if you sever something from mechubar, it does have mi'ilah. The Rishonim in other places that disagree with this conclusion of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara says, v'tisbira, Hai mo'alim bo, ve'in mo'alim bo, hai kadosh, ve'in o kadosh, mi bo'ilei. Then the machloket, if it really is so fundamental as to whether a eved is kadosh or not kadosh, that is the terminology that should have been used in the machloket. Are you kadosh? Are you not kadosh? The fact that they use this alternate term of mo'alim bo, ve'in mo'alim bo, seems to indicate that the machloket is about something else, not about whether they are or not kadosh. Ella, dekuli alma kadosh. Everybody agrees that the Eved is Kadosh, similar to many of the Braitot and Mishnayot that we saw before against what Rav said. This is the machloket here in this Braitot. The Mar Savar Avdo Kimikarke Dami. One of them holds that an Eved has a din like Karko. Umar Savar Kimitaltale Dami. And the other one holds that he's din of Mitaltalin. So that Karko, which is not subject to Mi'ilah, because we learned that out from Chet, a Gezer Shava from Truma. Just like Truma is Talush, is something that is detached, so too, Mi'ilah is only on something that is detached. So if you are attached, are you Mechuber the Karka? You are Karka, there is no Mi'ilah in Karka. So depending on how you view this Eved, is the Eved viewed as Karka, or is the Eved viewed as Mitaltalim? If you view them as Karka, there won't be any Mi'ilah. If you view them as Mitaltalim, there will be Mi'ilah. The only problem is, as the Gemara now notes, Ihochi ad miflige bisaro, lifligo bigufo. Then why are they arguing about the hair? Let them argue about the Eved himself. Why is the argument simply about his seyar? Now, if you argue, again, that their machloket is about kadosh and enu kadosh, then you can understand why the hair is relevant, because then there's a chiddush in telling us that the hair has mi'ilah in it, or that the hair is kadosh. But if you say that they're arguing about simply whether there is karko or metautlin, there is mi'ilah, there is no mi'ilah, then it makes no sense to discuss the hair. You should discuss the Eved himself, because there's a nafkamina within the Eved himself, whether he's subject to Me'ilah or not. I mean, if you say it's Kadosh, then the hair is something that's a Chiddush, that is also Kadosh, and when it severs, there's Me'ilah. But over here, if it's all about whether it's Metalton or not, then the whole Eved is, or the whole Eved isn't. Hair is no different than the rest of the Eved. Ella, Dekuli Alma, Avdo Kimit Karki Yedami. No, everybody agrees that an Eved has a din of Karko. That's learned out of the Pasuk, Vitnachaltem Otam, the Reshet Achuzah, which is that you will pass these slaves to your children as a Yerusha, meaning that they have a din like property rights, and they are passed to your children. And here the Machloket is really about the Seyar. It's Seyar that is long enough that it's ready to be cut, or that it should be cut. Mar Savar Kikazuz Domi, one of them, meaning Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, says that it's as if cut, and therefore it's subject to Mi'ilah, as opposed to the Eved himself who's Karka. Here, when you detach the hair from the Eved, everybody agrees that the hair has a din of Dushan, is subject to Mi'ilah. The only question here is, while it's still attached, and it's ready to be cut, or it's at a length where it should be cut, what is the status of that hair? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ki Gazuz Dami, and therefore it is subject to Mi'ilah. Marsavar Lav Ki Gazuz Dami, whereas the Tanakamo believes that it is not deemed as if detached, and therefore there is no Mi'ilah with regards to the hair. This goes back to what I said before, that seemingly everybody agrees that if you detach the hair, you will be subject to Mi'ilah, and therefore something that's Mechubar the Karka, and then is detached, you see from here, is subject to Mi'ilah. The only question here is, while it's still attached, is it deemed as if detached? And that's only machloket between them here with regards to kigazuz dummy or lav kigazuz dummy. So the Mari says, Lema ani tanei ka ani tanei. Let us say the machloket tanaim, which we're suggesting over here, is parallel to another machloket tanaim that we have, Titznan. We have a Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Dvarim, Shem Kikarko, Ve'inim Kikarko. There's certain things that are like karka because they are attached to the ground, but they're not given the status of karka despite the fact that they're mechuber the karka. The Chamim do not agree to him. Ketzad, Eser Gifanim Te'unot. You have 10 vines that are laden with grapes. Mesarti Lecha, that's what I gave to you to watch for me. V'halomer, Inam Ela Chamesh. And the other one says there are only 5. Rabbi Meir Michayev Shvu'ah. He says that this is a din of Modem Mimiksat, and you have to take a Shvu'ah. He claims 10, the other guy says 5. Then, you're Chayev in a Shvu'ah of Modem Mimiksat. V'chumim Amim. Call him a chuber the karka, areu ku karka. Anything attached to the ground has a status of karka. And the Gemara in Perek Merubah in Bava Kamma learns that there's an exception for shvuot with regards to karka, that one doesn't take a shvua on karka. So if it's deemed to be karka, one may not take a shvua, one is not obligated in a shvua de oraita. On the other hand, if it's deemed to be metaltalim, then you would take a shvua mode b'miksat over here. So here you have a case where the grapevines are laden with grapes. So as far as mechuber the karka, everything is mechuber the karka over here. The only question again is it deemed as if detached since the grapes are fully ripe and ready to be picked? So now, are they considered attached or detached? Rabbi Meir says they're detached since they're ready, fully ripe and ready to be picked. They are detached, and therefore you can take a shavua or more the mixat applies there. On the other hand, for the Chachamim, since they are attached to the ground, they still have a din of karka, no shvu'ah. Here it seems that this machloket is parallel to what we just suggested with regards to the Eved and the hair. So Rabbi Yosi Bechanina, anavim omdot libatzer ikabeinayu. The machloket here is about grapes that are ready to be picked, fully ripe and ready to go. The Rabbi Meir Savar, kibitzurot damyon. They are as if picked. Rabbanan Savar, love kibitzurot damyon. And the Chachamim say that they are not as if picked, similar to what we are suggesting in our machloket, whether the hair is considered to be gazuz dami or lavki gazuz dami. Where it says, afilu teima Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir could fit into the machloket that we brought over here. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hatam elu banavim. There he only says it with regards to grapes. The kama de kaimin michash kechishe. The longer they stay on the vine, the worse they get. Meaning that when they reach a point of ripeness, then keeping them on the vine any longer is not to their benefit, it's to their detriment, and they will start to deteriorate on the vine. So therefore, he thinks that they're kibitzurot damyon because there's no more value in them staying attached to the vine. On the other hand, with hair, as long as it's attached, it will continue to grow and therefore be beneficial. So therefore, maybe this machloket is not necessarily parallel because hair is different than grapes and we could differentiate between them. Or, in other words, what we're doing now is saying that there are three different categories. There's a category of something that is attached, which is detrimental when it remains attached to the ground. That, for sure, we say is kibitzurot damyon. That is, as if detached. And it's possible even that the chachamim might agree to that. If it remains attached, and it continues to be beneficial that it's attached, it continues to grow, and continues to benefit from its being mechubar lekarka, there, maybe even Rabbi Meir agrees that it is considered attached, and we don't consider it as if it's detached. Where the machloket clearly would be is in a case where it's neutral. In a case where staying attached to the ground does not benefit it, but it also does not to its detriment. It's also not to its detriment. In that case, for sure they will argue. On the two other sides, it might be that Rabbi Meir agrees when it is beneficial that it's considered still be attached. And Chami might agree in a case where it's detrimental that it is considered to be detached. But what you have here is a possibility that the machlokot don't have to be parallel because the nature of grapes is different than that of hair. Kitzalik Rabbi Chir bar Yosef. Amar lahai shmaitet de derav kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rabbi Chir bar Yosef went to Eretz Yisrael, he said over Rav's memra before Rabbi Yochanan who's in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, Amar Rav hachi? Rav really said this? That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Gemara says, v'lu amar hachi? And now the Gemara retorts back to Rabbi Yochanan, and you didn't say that? It seems that Rabbi Yochanan is perplexed by what Rav said because he doesn't hold like that. But the Gemara is pointing out is that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Rav is right. And therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan thinks Rav is right, why is he so surprised that Rav said it? V'amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha-mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut, v'tzarech get shichrur. So the person who's mafkir zeved goes out free and requires a get shichrur, which is what we saw in Rav. We had two memrot in the name of Rav yesterday. One memra, which is Rabbi Yosef amar Rav, ha-mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut, and we had Amarav, Magdish Abdo, Yatzal Echeirut. So we had a machloket whether it's Magdish or Mafkir, but at least we do have a member from Rav that says Amafkir Abdo, Yatzal Echeirut, and Rabbi Yochanan seemingly agrees with that. So why is he so surprised that Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, who Rabbi Yosef himself said over in the name of Rav, says that Amafkir Abdo, Yatzal Echeirut. Rabbi Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the exact same memra. Mar says, Achikam Arle, Amarav Kabati? So he says, Rav says like me? So as if not that he was asking it in a sense that it can't be that Rav says that, but he was surprised that Rav was supportive of his position in a happy way. That, oh wow, Rav all says like, just like me? Vikadamre. Some say, lo seimua kame, that they didn't finish the memra in front of him, which is that there are two pieces to this memra. One is that Rav Chir bar Yosef says, Rav says, ha-mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut. The second part of the statement is that it's arich get shechrur, that it requires a get shechrur. That was a later statement in our Gemara that was brought Amar Rav Chir ba'avin Amar Rav echad ze v'echad ze yatzah l'cheirut v'tzarich get shechrur. That was an additional item, an appendix that was added to that statement of Rav by another Amora that you need a get shechrur. So what they're suggesting now is the memra that was said in front of Rabbi Yochanan was simply the first part, which is a mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut. So Amar Leiv lo Amar Rav tzarich get shechrur. That's what he was saying. Rav doesn't say that he needs a get shechrur. He was saying that Rav only says that in mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut without anything else. Doesn't he require a get shechrur? And Rabbi Yochanan is the tamei. Rabbi Yochanan is the shitato. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mafkir abdo yatzah l'cheirut, similar to this memra of Rav, but v'tzarich get shechrur. So he was wondering what happened to that part of Rav's statement. Truth is that we do have a memra in the name of Rav that he does require a get shechrur, but what was conveyed to Rabbi Yochanan was simply that Rav says that Amafkir Abdo Yatzal Echeirut without that later piece which says Vitzarech, or that qualification that says Vitzarech Get Shichrur. Right, Gufa, now we're going to investigate this in a little more depth. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amafkir Abdo Yatzal Echeirut Vitzarech Get Shichrur. Person who relinquishes control over his Eved, his Mafkir is Eved, the Eved goes free, but he still requires a get shechrur. Eitavei Rabbi Abba the Ula. So Rabbi Abba challenges this memra of Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ger shemet. Ubizbizu Yisrael nechasav. So a ger that passed away and people are, quote-unquote, plundering his possessions. A ger who has no relatives, because he is tino shinola dummy, and if he has no children, if he has no offspring while he is Jewish, then he doesn't have any yorshim. And so if he passes away, his property becomes hefker, and then first come, first serve. Whoever takes the property gains ownership over the property. Vayu ben avadim, ben gdolim, ben ktanim. Amongst his property were avdei kenanim. Some of them were of age, some of them were minors. Kanu atzman b'nei chorin. Then they acquire themselves. The first party to the hefker is the individual themselves. So if you have an eved kenani, and someone else comes to try to take possession of them, the first person who's there to take possession of them at the death of their master is they themselves. And therefore, they are kone atzman for b'nei chorin. Abba Sholomer, gdolim kanu atzman b'nei chorin, the avdei kenanim that are of age, are able to acquire themselves because they have the ability of acquisition. They are old enough to acquire items, and therefore they acquire themselves. Ktanim, kolam akzik behem, zacha behem. But in regards to the ktanim, first come, first serve, because the ktanim don't have the ability to acquire themselves. Now, Tosafot asks, that's not so true. We're going to see later on here in the Gemara that the Rabbanan say that a katan has a kinyan with regards to mitziah and to other items. Why is it that over here we're saying that they don't have any kinyan? So that's easy to answer because the Gemara later on, when it says it's because of tikkun olam, is that darchei shalom. It's to keep peace here so that people don't just go grab things from ktanim if they pick up a mitziah. So they instituted that the katan has a din of kinyan. But not that that's kinyan d'oraita, that's simply a kinyan d'rabanan for darchei shalom. But we do find that there is a kinyan of a katan mid'oraita in the Gemara and Sukkah. The guards of the Gemara and Sukkah says, don't give your lulav to your child on the first day of Yom Tov until you've already used it to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. There's a requirement of Lachem on the first day of Sukkot that you must own your lulav. If you grant it to, or give it as a matanah to your child, the child has the ability to make a kinyan, but does not have the ability to grant a kinyan. Over there, it's clearly a kinyan d'oraita, because otherwise it wouldn't be mafkia you from doing the mitzvah of lulav. So the chachamim warn there, don't give it to your child, because they do have the ability to make a kinyan d'oraita. So there you see that ketanim do have the ability to exercise a kinyan d'oraita. Tosafot over here says something that he says in other places in Shas. It's important that there's a difference in terms of the ability to acquire items when there's another party involved. There's a difference of acquiring something from Hefker versus acquiring it from another party who's granting you ownership. It's what he calls dat makneh, that there is another party who's trying to be makneh, the object that is murevet here. So in the case where you're taking from Hefker, the person themselves has to have enough of a kinyan that they can exercise the kinyan in of themselves. That is true by a gadol, that is not true by a katan. On the other hand, by the case of lulav, where it's not only that the katan is receiving and taking the kinyan, someone else is being makneh, is granting them that kinyan. And that dat makneh enhances the kinyan to the point that the katan here can take possession of it, despite the fact that he may not have a kinyan if he was stood alone. And so our case here is a case where he's a standalone trying to make a kinyan from Hefker. There he doesn't have the power to make such a kinyan. The case of Lulav, where there's an outside party granting him the kinyan, there that deficit that the katan has is made up by the granting party's dat. And that's why there's a kinyan by Lulav, which is not the case over here. At least according to Abba Shaul. V'chi mi katav get shichrur le'elu. That's what Rabbi Abba asked Ula, who freed these individuals. You're saying over here that they acquire themselves. The reason they acquire themselves is because their master died and they are hefker. So now they acquire themselves in terms of hefker, but you said before, hamafkir avdo yetzal cheirut, you can no longer be mishabed the eved, but he still needs a get shichrur. Where is the get shichrur in this case? It's completely absent. The question is, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, where is that get shichrur that you demand? It's not here. That's his challenge to what Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar, domi haimi derabanan, kdilo gamri in sheshmaito. He says back, this Talmud Chacham, meaning Rabbi Abba, is as if he never learned something in his life, or he didn't really know what he's talking about. Now, the truth is that they're asking him here about a member of Amoraim, which he's not demanded to know. When you're talking about a bright, when you're talking about a Tanaic work, that's one thing to say, maybe the Amora should have known about it. And even there, we expect them to know a Mishnah, we don't necessarily expect them to know a Braita. So over here, he's quoting a Braita. Okay, maybe he knows that, or maybe we could demand that of him. Why not, all of a sudden over here, does he not know, which we're going to see in a second, a member of Amoraim? Why would you criticize him? What you have to say is, if you're going to question someone from a Braita, you better know the context of the Braita, or you better understand the Braita. There's an obvious question which jumps out from this Braita that needs to be solved, which we're going to see in a second by Rav Nachman. And if he was really sharp and understood what he was doing or asking about the Braita, he should have come to at least some conclusion close to Rav Nachman because of the problem in the Braita, which is V'tayim Amai. What is the reasoning in the Braita? Amar Rav Nachman Kasavar Ula Avdo de Ger Ki Ishto. That the Eved of a Ger is just like his wife. Ma Ishto Mishtacha Belo Get Af Avadav Mishtachim Belo Get. So this is what we have seen before, that there is a Hekesh between the get p'turim, a divorce of a woman, and the get shichrur of an eved. And the Gemara in the Kiddushin, the Mishnayot in Kiddushin discuss this extensively, but there is a parallel between them. And therefore, if a woman is released by the death of her husband, so too the eved will be released by the death of his master. So what the suggesting, Rav Nachman is suggesting over here, the reason that it works in this braito is because you don't need a get shechrur. Why don't you need a get shechrur? Because it's different than a normal case. In a normal case of hefker, the master is still alive. And since the master is alive, that issue of shechrur still exists. In our case, the master passed away. And since he passed away now, he does not require a get shechrur because the hefker releases him in terms of the mamon aspect. The death of the master now releases him for the need for a get shechrur, similar to an isha. Just like an isha doesn't require a get when her husband passes away. Yochi, the Gemara says, if that's the case, afilu Yisrael nami. Why do you think this is unique to a ger? This should be the case even by Yisrael. Because by Yisrael, you could suggest the same thing. If he's mafkir zevet, and then he passes away. So maybe in that case, you would suggest that the eved then is released completely. He doesn't require a get shechrur. Ulam Rabbi Yochanan says that if you're mafkir abdo, then you still require a get shechrur. What happens if after that fact the master passes away? Does that release the eved from the get shechrur? Then why are you bringing this whole case by a ger? This should be equally true by an Israel. By Israel, you should have the same issue, which is that if he was mafkir them, then died, that should release the eved without a get shechrur. And that's not the case. Amar kra vitnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem nereshet achuza. This is the pasuk that we quoted before with regards to the fact that an eved knani is deemed to be like karka. Because over here you see that you pass them as owned property to the yorshim. So this is vitnachaltem otam livnechem acharechem nereshet achuza. This gets passed down to the yorshim. Where it says, Yochi hamafkir abdo v'meit nami. So if that's the case, a person who is mafkir is eved and then dies, then that should be the case. Alama amara meimar, a mafkir of dova mate, oto eved in lo takana. That a person who released his eved from ownership through hefker, he disowned himself from the eved. He gave him back his monetary rights. But his tzad isur, which is his designation as an eved knani, he does not release him from, he does not give him a get shechur. And then he dies, we say, ha eved in lo takana. This eved has no way to be rectified or fixed over here. So the Gemara says that Amemar Kasho. Amemar's statement is very problematic in this context. I mean, the way that Rav Nachman is explaining the difference between the Braita and Rabbi Yochanan's statement, he's saying by the Braita, it has a din like a get, turin, like a divorce. Just like a divorce, at the death of the individual, the get is no longer needed. So too, by the case of a get shechrur of an eved. So that's the distinguishing between that and the normal case of Rabbi Yochanan where it requires a get shechur. The Gemara says, why is that unique to a ger? Why does that apply to a regular Israel as well? That when he passes away, the eved should gain his freedom automatically when the owner dies, just like when the ger dies, the eved is completely freed because he severs the relationship, just like a woman is freed when her husband dies. So too by a regular Yisrael, that should be the case. The Gemara answers, that's not the case because of the pasuk of itnechaltem otam livnechem achreichem. That when you have your shim, as you're saying, once you have a yoresh, then the din is different because you pass whatever rights you have to the yorshim, and the eved does not automatically get severed. That relationship doesn't get severed. In the case of Yerusha, we say those rights are not released by the Adon, but rather passed to the Yoresh. And that's what the Pasuk says, that Zerat HaKatuv, that it's not released, but passes to the Yorshim. That's not true by a Ger, because he doesn't have Yorshim, and that's why the rights are released in that case. But we have a problem, is that a Meimar says, that a Mafkir of Dova Meit, Oto Eved Ein Lo Takanah. He's stuck in limbo then, and there's no way to rectify him. Why are you saying that? We have a very simple way to rectify him. He's free, because the Hefker released the ownership, so it doesn't pass to the children, and the death of the Adon releases him from Avdut, and therefore he should be completely free here. So Gemara left that off as a Meimar Kasha. A Meimar's position is very problematic in this case. Now, Ein Lo Takana, Rashi explains over here, Kedem Afresh Lekaman, Devin Kevan Tehifkiro, Paka Mimono Mine. Since he made him Hefker, his monetary ownership in the slave has disappeared. And that's why there's no Yerusha. That's not why it doesn't pass to the child. V'isurahu depash lebalim alehen. The only thing that the owner has left in him is the rights of Avdut, or basically the rights that he is an Eved Kedani. V'chi mait. And when the Adon dies, ein ze Yerusha lo rish lebanav. That is not something that can be passed to his children. It's an intangible object, which is the right of Shibud, or the right to keep him as an Eved Kenani, which can only be released through a Get Shechru, or through a document of emancipation. That intangible right, the owner can maintain, or can release him from that, but what he can't do, it's not substantive enough to pass to his children. If it was substantive enough to pass to his children, then the children could free him, or they could give him a Get Shechru. The reason that the Ein Lo Takana over here is because the master is passed away, so he can't grant a get shechrur. The children can't grant a get shechrur because they're not a party to the slave. They didn't inherit the slave. The monetary value or the monetary tzad of the slave is gone already. And therefore there's no Yerusha of these individuals. That lack of Yerusha makes it that ein lo takana, that there is no way to rectify this slave. And that's what a Meimar is saying, and that's what the Gemara is saying. From what Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Yochanan seems incongruous. Because based on what we've said, the death of the Adon should release him when there is no monetary hold on the Eved anymore. When there's no Yerusha left, then the mere fact that he dies should sever the relationship and free the slave. Now, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halocha Ke'aba Sha'ol. The Halocha is like Abba Sha'ol in this case, that Gedolim acquire themselves, but the Ketanim do not acquire themselves. First come, first serve. Now, in the case that the Ktanim, we don't have a first come, first serve, and they grow up and become Gdolim, then they will run into a problem. Because then, who can grant them a get shechrur? They never had a shechrur. The death of the Adon doesn't work to be meshachrer them, because at the time of his death, they were still monetarily held by the Adon because they cannot acquire themselves. Later on, when they become Gdolim and they can acquire themselves, they don't have the Mitat Adon to release the Get Shechrur. So that those that believe that if the Ktanim grow up and then acquire themselves when they grow up, they'll be stuck in this limbo state where they can't get a Get Shechrur. If they're acquired by a third party while they are Ktanim, then that party has control over them, both monetary control and the Isur control, and they can release them if they want. But if they remain independent, even if they acquire themselves later on, it might be problematic where they can't get a get shechur, and they'll be stuck in this limbo state. But meantime, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says the halacha is like Abba Shaul. Amrle Rabbi Zeira the Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi beferush shmi alacha o michlala shmi alacha. Did you hear that explicitly from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, or did you infer that from something else that you heard from him? Michlala. He says back to Rabbi Zeira, what do you think the inference is? So he says, the Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, Amru lifnei Rabbi, they said before Rabbi, Amar nityashti miploni abdi, if a person has yeush in getting back his Eved, which is the equivalent of Hefker, where he releases monetary ownership in the Eved, Mahu, what is the din of this Eved? Amrahem, Omerani, ein lo takana, elo bishtar. There's no way to rectify this except through a shtar. He needs a get shechrur. Zvam Rabbi Yochanan, my time with the Rabbi. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi? Gomar, la mi isha. He grants a hekesh between Eved and Isha. Ma isha bishtar, af Eved nami bishtar. that just like a woman is only released through a shtar, through a get pturin, so to an eved is only released through a shtar. It's not sufficient that he gets his monetary ownership. Yeush and hefker are not sufficient grounds for the eved to acquire himself. He requires a get shichrur in order to acquire himself. V'kadayik mino. And you are medayik from this, that ki'isha. Ma'isha isura velo mimona. Just like by the woman, the shtar is a release of the isur, not the monetary side. The woman doesn't have. Husband has no monetary ownership inside of his wife. He only has the relationship, which is a relationship of isur. And the get piturim, the divorce, releases that side isur. Af eved nami isura velo mimona. So too, by an eved, it only releases the isur aspect, not the mamon aspect. Or, in other words, that the get shichrur is necessary in order to release the isur. The mamon is one aspect. The get shichrur deals with the other aspect. And that's what Rabbi is saying. This eved that was released because the adon had yeush, so that guy gave him monetary rights. But with regards to his isurim, the adon still has to release him through a get shichrur. As Rashi explains over here, this statement of taima mai de Rabbi is explaining Rabbi's position. And within Rabbi's position, we're seeing this distinction between mamon and isur. From this, you were inferring that Rabbi Shulman Levi must believe there's a difference between a katan and a gadol. If you have no monetary connection to the individual, then the shtar can come and release. And that's what's happening over here, which is that you have the isha where there's no monetary connection, and the get turin, the divorce, releases the woman. The eved, we're saying, is parallel. That here he has monetary ownership because of the yeush, and then the get shichrur comes along and releases the isur. So what you see here is in Rabbi must be talking about a gadol, because we're talking about people whose monetary ownership can be released or that they can acquire their monetary ownership. And so he must be talking about a gadol as opposed to a katan. And that is the inference that Rabbi Zera is suggesting. Maybe this is why you believe that Rabbi Shulman Levi thinks Allah is Ka'ab Shaul, because Rabbi is distinguishing between a gadol and a katan. And that is being inferred from his statement over here. That's the way Rashi learns it, that it's directly about Rabbi's statement about the Maitaima. Others believe that you're trying to read Abba Shaul into Rabbi, and based on that fact, you make this distinction between, or this connection between the Isha and the Eved about Isur. But either way, what you see from here is that it's seemingly Rabbi's din that Rabbi Shulman Levi is bringing is only applicable by a gadol, not applicable by a katan. Similar to what Abba Shul says, is that a gadol and a katan are distinct in the fact that a gadol can get his monetary ownership back, and therefore the get shichrur works, whereas a katan cannot get his monetary ownership back, therefore the get shichrur doesn't help. Or here, in the case here, where there is no get shichrur, it's the owner dies, that doesn't help him because the release is not a complete release of the katan. Tosafot over here asks a very basic question. It seems from here that a get shichrur is not sufficient grounds to free a slave. It says over here that you need the monetary side to be freed separately from the Isur side. The only thing the get shichrur can do is release him from the Isur. What happens to the monetary side? You can see the top Tosafot. Fim tomar, heyach eved mishtachrer bishtar, la Abba Shaul im lo yafkirenu tchila. How could it be, according to Abba Shaul then, that if you release a slave through a get shichrur, that he goes free? If you're not mafkir, if you don't release the monetary side, if the get can only deal with the Isur side, then how does he deal with the monetary side? Rashi doesn't have this problem because it's all in Rabbi. This whole Gemara here is speaking within Rabbi's position. And now the Gemara is trying to take that and say that also should imply that he holds like Abba Shaul. According to the Bali HaTosafot, the Gemara here is talking in the position of Abba Shaul. And in the position of Abba Shaul, we make this hekesh between Isha and an Eved. And we're saying that an Isha and Eved, the get shichrur only releases you from Isur. If it only releases you from Isur, then how does a get shichrur release an Eved completely, even without hefker? So Tosfot's left in a bind. So he says, well, Marie, the dafka bekinyan demita de yalfina miisha, that this hekesh to an isha is only in a case of death. I mean, in isura velav mamona dumia de isha, that we say that it's a release of isur just like the woman. The woman, by the death of her husband, is released from the tzad isur. I mean, the mamon tzad, again, there was no monetary ownership in the woman, and therefore that is not an issue at the time of the death of the husband. The only thing the death of the husband does is release her from isur. That parallel to an eved that we saw previously that Rav Nachman suggested is the reasoning behind Abba Shaul and Tanakama's machloket and why it's distinct from Rabbi Yochanan's statement is because the death of the ger, the death of the adon, is compared to an isha. And in that case, the death does only one thing. It releases the isur. It does not release the mamon side. But where someone actively gives a get shechrur, in that case, it will release both the isur side and the mamon side. And even according to Abba Shaul, you could release a katan. If you get a get shechrur to a katan, that get shechrur will grant him both freedom, a document of emancipation from the isur, as well as monetary rights. Because a get shechrur can cover all of those items in the release of a individual. So Tosfos says it depends what is generating the release. If it's a get shechrur that is generating the release, that can release the isur and the mamon. If it's the death of the adon that is generating the release, that only releases the isur, does not release the mamon side. And that's the problem we're facing here with regards to a gadol versus a katan, or an eved gadol versus an eved katan, because the release of the isur here is happening by the death of the adon. So in the case where the gadol already has his monetary ownership, he acquired himself, then the death of the adon releases the isur and he's completely free. For the katan who can't acquire his own monetary ownership, the death of the adon doesn't do anything for him in terms of releasing the isur, because the monetary ownership is still in place. Since monetary ownership is in place, they can't release the isur. Now, that possibly would go against what we said before. If later on the katan acquires himself that he doesn't go free because the get shechur didn't happen or the adon didn't happen, it's possible here, according to Tosfos, you could segregate these items and say that he gets the release from the isur at the death of the adon, and the mamon side will come into his possession when he becomes of age, and therefore the katan could acquire himself when he becomes of age. That you possibly could suggest now, according to Tosfos, who bifurcates the dinim between mamon and isur, as opposed to what we said before, that if the death of the adon, if he doesn't have monetary rights, the isur rights don't come into play, because we say that the isur is only released when that's the only thing that is there. But if there's still mamon there, then the isur is not released. And we said, therefore, when the katan grows up and acquires himself, that doesn't help because the isur is still in place. So you could suggest here that maybe Tosafot would look at that differently. Although, again, you could even say within the shita of Tosafot. Now, Mar says, Vih michlolo mai. If you learn that from this inference, what's the problem? So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zeris says back to him, Adraba. Because you can make a different diok out of here. Dok mina, leidach kisa. You can make a diok the other direction. Maisha ben gdola ben ktana. Just like by a woman, a get turin, a divorce applies both to a woman who is of age and a woman who is a minor. Or in the death, according to the way Tosfos is learning, the death of the husband releases the woman whether she is of age or whether she's a minor. Af eved nami ben gadol ben katan. And therefore, you could say the same thing over here. Whether the eved is a gadol or katan, it should release the eved over here. And so your diuk from the statement of Rabbi is not a good enough diuk to teach us what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position is. Whether he holds like Abba Shaul, he doesn't hold like Abba Shaul, because it's not clear from here whether it only applies to a gadol, like we were saying before, because of the fact that we said that there's a Easter release, which does not require a monetary release, implying that the monetary release has already happened, which is only applicable by a gadol, not applicable by a katan. You could be medayik the other way, which is to say, just like by a woman, the death of the husband or a divorce releases the woman from the isur, whether she's of age or whether she's a minor, so too by the slaves, it should be the same thing. So I have no proof about what his position is regards to a katan, and therefore I can't tell you what his position is vis-a-vis a katan or vis-a-vis Abba Shaul. So Amalei beferish shmili. He says, well, after he asked him about all of this stuff, he says to him, you know what, I heard it explicitly from Yeshua ben Levi. So now, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi heard it directly from Yeshua ben Levi, that the loch is like Abba Shaul. Rabbi Zera said, did you hear it from an inference? And then Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi said to him, what inference? And so Rabbi Zera spells out the inference that he could have used. And then he says, that sounds pretty good. What's wrong with that inference? And then Rabbi Zera explains why that's not a good inference. And in the end, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi tells him, I didn't use the inference, I heard it explicitly from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Then, Rabbi Chiya ba'ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein alocha ke Abba Shaul. The locha is not like Abba Shaul. So here you have a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as to whether the locha is like Abba Shaul. Tosafot on the previous Amud says, when there's a machloket Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, the locha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So over here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi will trump over Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore the locha will be like Abba Shaul according to the Balei Tosafot. So now, Amalei Rabbi Zera, the same Rabbi Zera who challenged Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi before, now is challenging Rabbi Chir Ba'ava and saying, Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, Beferish Shmielecha or Michlolo Shmielecha? Did you hear that explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan, or did you get an inference from Rabbi Yochanan? My Klolo, what would be the inference? Dam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Am Lifnei Rabbi, same exact quote that we had before. which is Nitiyashtami Ploni Abdi Mahu. Amalem Omerani in Lo Takana Ela Bishtar. There's no way to fix him until he gets a shtar. Now it's important over here to note, when Rashi says Ein Lo Takana Ela Bishtar, what is the status of the Eved until he gets a shtar? Rashi claims over here, Bevat Yisrael, Ein Lo Takana, he can't marry a regular Jew, because he's not a free person. So he's still restricted in marrying a Bat Yisrael. Below Bishifcha, he can't marry a Shifcha Knanit, Shrei Meshuchraru Kitzat Veinu Gamur. He's partly released, so he's stuck in this limbo state where he can't marry a Bat Yisrael and he can't marry a Shifcha Knanit. On the other hand, Tosafot disagrees with this and says that he cannot marry a Bat Yisrael. I agree with that. But he could marry a Shifcha Knanit. He's still an Eved Kenani. As long as the status of Eved Kenani applies to him, even though he's an Eved Kenani that cannot be enslaved and cannot be worked, he's still an Eved Kenani with regard to Yisurim, and he can marry a Shifcha. So Tosafot believes that Ein Lo Takana Ela Bishtar means that he still can marry a Shifcha Knanit until he gets a shtar that releases him to marry a Bat Yisrael. Rashi says if he doesn't get a shtar, he's in limbo, he can't marry a Yisrael, Bat Yisrael, and he cannot marry a Shifcha. So that's a difference in what it means here that Ein Lo Takana Ela Bishtar. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi. And Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the reason behind Arabi? Gamar lo lo miisha, maisha bishtar, af evin nami bishtar. Again, the same thing that we said before. V'kadayik mino, kisha, maisha ben gdola ben ktana, af evin nami ben gadol ben katan. So the opposite diuk that we used to be shalel, the case before, now he's making, which is the diuk will be just like an isha, makes no difference whether she's of age or a minor. So too by an evin, it should make no difference whether he is of age or a minor. So he says back to him, Rav Chir Bava, v'imichlola mai. If that's the inference, what's wrong with that inference? That sounds like a pretty good diuk. Says adraba dokmina, you can be medayik the other way that I suggested before. La'achisa ma'isha isura v'lo mamona, af evet nami isura v'lo mamona. So you could learn the other way, which is that by the evet it only applies when there's isra no mamon. Just like by the isha where there's only isra no mamon, that's only applicable by an evet gadol, not by an evet katan. And therefore you would be medayek like Abba Shaul from this. Or in other words, you can't be medayek anything. You can't make any inferences from this because you can learn it either way. So Amar Leib Beferu Shmieli. So again, Rabbi Chir Bava answers Rabbi Zeira, I heard it explicitly. And that's why this bright is not helpful in making any determination, but rather each one of them heard explicitly from their Rebbe. So Rabbi Yaakov Yidi heard from Yeshua ben Levi, Alocha ke Abba Shaul. And Rabbi Chir Bava heard from Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Alocha ke Abba Shaul. Amamar. Amar Lehem Omer Ani, Ein lo takana ela bishtar. The only way to rectify the situation over here is through a shtar shichur. Va'atanya, don't we have a brayta? Rabbi Omer, Omer ani af hu noten dmei atzmo biyotzei mipnei shukum mochro lo. So this goes back to the brayta that we quoted yesterday against Rab's position, where we said a person who's makdish abdo that the gizbarim sell the eved to third parties. And then those third parties have the option whether they want to free the slave or not free the slave. Over there, Rabbi says that the slave can buy himself. Him buying himself is no worse than a third party buying him. Over there, Rabbi says, Omerani, afunotein dmei atzmo, biyotzei. He buys himself and he goes free. Miomocherlo, because he's being sold to him. If that's the case, where's the shtar that is necessary over here? It seems that he can acquire himself and there's no requirement of shtar. So why by Yeush does he demand a shtar? Over here where he purchases himself, he doesn't demand a shtar. So Amar Zachi Gamar, O Bekesef, O Bishtar. That either through money or through a shtar. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Or through Kesef or through a shtar? V'apokele kaspe. What do you mean? That the monetary ownership is gone. When he acquires himself, then the only thing left is a shtar. Why are you telling me or money or shtar? Says Lafuke Mehaitan, it comes to exclude this shita that says that money doesn't work. Tatanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Yochoyehe Kesef Gomer Ba, Kederach Sheshtar Gomer Ba. You would think that money terminates the relationship with a Shifcha Knanit, just like the way that a shtar terminates the relationship with a Shifcha Knanit. Tamalomar Vafte Lo Nifdata, says that she has not been freed. The whole parsha is qualified by this statement of lo chupasha, that she was not released, she was not freed. Lo melacha, to teach you, shtar gomerba, vein kesef gomerba. That a shtar releases a shifcha knanit, but money does not release a shifcha knanit. Over here, Rabbi has a position, seemingly, that an eved can acquire himself through the monetary acquisition, where he buys himself. And there, if he buys himself, then he wouldn't require a shtar to free himself, meaning that we do not separate between the monetary ownership and the isur. So when he says that there's no way to the eved to get released except he has a shtar, the implications are that he couldn't, through simple monetary acquisition, take possession of himself. The answer to that is no. Rabbi believes, o kesef, o shtar. Either of them works. He can acquire himself, and that gives him freedom, or he can get a get shichrur, and that gives him freedom. Where it says, what do you mean? Kesef ha-pakale kaspe. The monetary ownership is already gone over here. So that only leaves you one option. The one option is that of a shtar. And that's why Rabbi said before that the only way for him to get a release is a shtar. So now, what is he coming to teach you then? Hafuke mehai tana. He's coming to go against this position of tana that an eved kanani or a shifu kanani, there's only one way to become free. That's through a shtar. Acquisition, buying themselves, does not grant them or gain them freedom. So Rabbi's coming to dispel that position and say that obekesef obeshtar, either one of them is a valid option for the eved to be released. So in the case where he purchases himself, that will give him or grant him a valid release. In a case where he's granted a shtar, that will also grant him a full release. In our case, where Rabbi is commenting where there's yeush, then he didn't acquire himself, and the monetary side is dropped by the wayside. So there, pakele kaspe, the only thing left for him to use is a shtar. So why is he mentioning kesef? Kesef comes to teach you that if he did acquire himself, he would go free, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon's position, the name of Rabbi Akiva, who says that acquisition is not a means for a slave to acquire himself. Why is that? There's a parsha of Shifcha HaCharufa that is found in Parshat Kiddushim, which says that a man that sleeps with a Shifcha HaCharufa is Chayav an Asham and is not Chayav Mita. So the Gemara explains in other places, it's Machloket actually, what a Shifcha HaCharufa is, but the Gemara here is going along with the position that a Shifcha HaCharufa is a Shifcha who is a half Bat Chorin and a half Shifcha Kananit. It says, Va'avdei lo nifdata. She was not completely freed and she was not completely released. So what does that mean? She's a half Shifcha Kananit, half Bat Chorin. The only individual who can marry such a woman is an Eved Ivri. Because an Eved Ivri is permitted to marry a Shifcha Kananit, and an Eved Ivri is also permitted to marry a Bat Israel. So an Eved Ivri could marry such a woman. So if an Eved Ivri is engaged as a Rusin with a Shifcha Charufa, then if someone else has an affair with this Shifcha Charufa, he's not subject to Mita, which is a normal punishment for someone who has an extramarital affair with a married woman, but rather he's subject to a Korban Asham. He has to bring an Asham Shifcha Charufa. So that Parsha says over there, Vaftei lo niftata. What's the problem with this woman is that she's not redeemed. She's half redeemed, not fully redeemed. And then at the end of the parsha, it qualifies as a qualifying statement. It says that he is chayav an asham because lo chupasha. She was not freed. What you see from that is that the only thing that can release this shifcha kananit from her status as a shifcha kananit is being freed. Havdei lo nifdata. The fact that she was partially redeemed or monetary acquisition is not a sufficient reason or way to release the woman. You still need the chupasha, you still need the shtar to release her. That is the deal that Rabbi Shimon is making over here, that until you have a shtar to release the shifcha kananit, she will remain a shifcha kananit. Her purchasing of herself is not sufficient grounds for her to be free in this instance. And so therefore, he concludes that the only way for an eved kanani or a shifcha kananit to be released is through a shtar, not through kesef. And Rabbi comes to dispel that and say that you can acquire either through kesef or through shtar. He disagrees with that reading of the parsha and says that it's either one. Havdei lo nifdata, she wasn't redeemed, and lo chupasha, she was not freed. Take your pick. If either one of those problems is solved, then she would have been free. If she was completely freed, then you'd have a problem. If she was completely redeemed, you'd also have a problem. And so the parasha gives you both things. Both things are still there. She was not freed, and she was not redeemed. She was not acquired. That's why this woman has a problem. But those are both problems. If you solve either one of those problems, then she would be free, according to Rabbi. According to Rabbi Shimon and the name of Rabbi Akiva, the parasha is qualified by the final statement, which is lo chupasha. The whole reason why this guy is not chayav mitah for sleeping with this woman is because she was not released. Lo chupasha means that there's only one way of release. That's through a shtar. That's the way Rashi reads it. The other way to read this is to say that the way the parsha is read is v'afdeh lo nifdata. She was not redeemed. And even if she was redeemed, lo chupasha, she wasn't freed. And so even if she was redeemed, she's not freed, and therefore, you see the only way to release the Shifra Kananit is to have a shtar. And that's the machlokes here between Rabbi and seemingly Rabbi Akiva, as to whether Kesef, or if the Eved purchases himself, or the Shifra Kananit purchases herself, that they go free. Rabbi says yes, Rabbi Shimon, the name of Rabbi Akiva, says no. Amar Rami Bar Chama Rabbi Nachman, Alocha ki Rabbi Shimon. The Alocha is like Rabbi Shimon over here. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Alocha ki Rabbi Shimon. So you have a machlokes here, as to whether the Alocha is like Rabbi Shimon or not. Rav Nachman says yes, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Ashkei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, L'Rova bar Shilta, or L'Rabo bar Shilta. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak finds Rabbi Shilta, Avakoya Pitcha de Beit Fila. He's standing in the entranceway to the Beit Fila, which is the Beit Knesset. Amalei Halacha, Oein Halacha. Is the Halacha here like Rabbi Shimon, or is the Halacha not like Rabbi Shimon? Amalei, Ani Omer, Ein Halacha. I say that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, similar to Rabbi Yochanan's position. The Rabbanon, the Atem Mechuza, the Rabbanon that come from Mechuza, Amar Rabbi Zera Mishmei, the Rav Nachman, Halacha. They say, in the name of Rav Nachman, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, which is what we saw before. Rami Bar Chama says that, in the name of Rav Nachman, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon. And now we find that Rabbi Zera also is saying, in the name of Rav Nachman, the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. B'chi Atai, the Surah, when I went to Surah, Ashkach Tei, the Rabbi Chia Ba'avin, I found Rabbi Chia bar Avin, v'amre lei emali izi gufa d'uvda eichahava. When we got there, he asked these individuals from Mechuza, what exactly was the case where they thought that Rabbi Nachman believed that Halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon. Amarli, dai amto, dava mora shchiv meira. There was this maidservant whose owner was a shchiv meira. Now, in yesterday's daf, we also had the term mara. Over there I said it's not clear whether that means a master or a masteress. Because over there it wasn't clear from the context of the Gemara as to whether it was talking about a male or a female. Over here it's clear that the mara here is not a mara, it's a mistress, but mara with a mapik hay, which is mar shela, her master, because you're going to see here that it uses the male form afterwards, which is that he was a shchiv meira, which indicates that he was a male. Atya bachya kamei. She came and cried before him. So it's clear here that the master is a male and the mara is with a mapik hay, means her master, or a male master over here, whereas if you could read the previous Gemaras that way, it just wasn't obvious from the Gemara whether it meant a master or a masteress. Over here it's clear, it means that it's her master. She comes, he's on his deathbed, and she comes crying to him. She says, how long am I going to remain enslaved? I mean, she's basically begging to be released or freed here while he's on his deathbed. Can you release me and not keep me in this permanent state of enslavement? Shako kumte. He took his hat, today the kumta, which is a beret in modern Hebrew, and shadoba, he threw it at her. Amarla, he says to her, tzilkani ha, take possession of this hat, v'kani nafsheikh, and at the same time, take acquisition of yourself, meaning acquire yourself for freedom. Atu the kameder of Nachman, they came before Rav Nachman, amarlo lo asav lo klum, nothing happened. Whatever he did over here was meaningless. So Mandukhaza Savar Mishum Dalocha Kirabi Shimon. So what people are looking on thought, why did Rav Nachman Paskin nothing happen here? Is because the din's like Rabbi Shimon. And the acquisition of freedom for a slave only comes through shtar. It cannot happen through kesef. And the way that he freed her over here was through kesef, through letting her acquire herself. So people think that's the conclusion they came to, that Rav Nachman holds that the Locha is like Rabbi Shimon. So that's what Rabbi Chir Ba'avin is clarifying over here. He's saying, tell me the story where you guys know that Rav Nachman believes that Halacha is Rabbi Shimon. So they say over to him this story, this whole incident where Rav Nachman paskin lo asav lo klum, and they concluded from that the Halacha must be like Rabbi Shimon. Velohi, that's not the case. Ela mishum da'ava glei kelav shel makne. The problem over here is that they use the kinyan chalipin, and when it comes to a kinyan chalipin, there's a machloket as to whose property you use in a kinyan chalipin. There's a machloket whether you use the kelav shel makneh, the one who's trying to give over ownership, he's the one whose pen or object, handkerchief you use for the kinyan chalipin, or is it the kelav shel koneh? Is it the kelim of the acquirer that is used? Rav in the Gemara in Bava Metzia says it's kelav shel koneh, and we paskin that way. When it comes to kinyan chalapim, you use the object of the konet. So for instance, when you're going to sell your chametz and the rav is acting on your behalf, you take the rav's pen, because he's the koneh over here, and he hands you the pen and the kinyan chalipin, and that creates the kinyan chalipin. So what went wrong over here is the koneh is the shifcha, and the makneh is the adon. When he throws his hat to her and tells her, acquire the hat, and you yourself at the same time, that's the kelav shel makneh. That was his property. You can't create a kinyan chalipin with his property. You needed the kelav of the koneh. If the shifcha had something she owned independently, then she could have handed it to him and done it through a kinyan chalipin. But that's not what happened over here. So there was a problem. From this, there are a number of things to learn. The first of which is, okay, the kinyan doesn't work. Why don't we say that divrei shchiv meira kiktuvim misurim? That a shchiv meira who makes a statement, we look at them as if they are written and sealed, and whatever he says goes. So here he wanted to free the shifcha. Why don't we say divrei shchiv meira, and she goes free? So first of all, Tosafot says, Rashi asked the question. Tosafot says Rashi's question is incorrect. Because here we're not talking about divrei shchiv meira. Divrei shchiv meira only applies when a person on their deathbed is distributing all their property. This individual wasn't giving his last will and testament, distributing his property, simply freeing this one woman. So he says that the principle that would be applicable here is mitzvah lekayim divrei amet. There's a mitzvah to keep the words of the mate. So the question, according to Tosfot, is why don't we invoke mitzvah lekayim divrei amet? According to Rashi, is why isn't this divrei shchiv meira kiktuvim musurim dami? And even though the kinyan failed, it should work from the other side, that she should go free from that reason. The answer that Rashi gives, and the same one that Tosafot believes is correct, is that he never commanded that to happen. He used a specific vehicle to try to free her, which he thought would work, and that failed. He did not try to use divrei shchiv meira. He did not try to use mitzvah lekayim divrei amet, because he gave no tzava'ah. He did not instruct anybody to free the shivcha kananit. Had he instructed him to do so, then you'd either have divrei shchiv meira or you'd have mitzvah lekayim divrei amet. But he makes no tzava'ah. He takes it into his own hands and tries to free her himself. That in of itself fails, but there's no tzava'ah, so therefore there's no divrei shchiv meira and there is no mitzvah lekayim divrei amet, and that's why it fails completely here, according to Rav Nachman. The second thing you see here from this Gemara is that by kinyan chalipin, the one who holds that the objects of the koneh are used in a kinyan chalipin, it's the object of the koneh exclusively. It's not, you can also use the possessions of the koneh and you can also use the makneh. No, it's only the koneh's possession that works here. You see that because here the makneh's possession were used and it didn't work. So it's koneh only, not makneh. The third thing that you see over here, which is important, is that Tosfot comes to the conclusion over here that kinyan chalipin is a replacement for a kinyan kesef. That a kinyan chalipin can stand instead of a kinyan kesef, because here you see the Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility that a kinyan chalipin here would work just like a kinyan kesef. Just like a kinyan kesef frees the slave, so too a kinyan chalipin would free the slave. And therefore Tosafot concludes that they are synonymous. Kinyan chalipin and kinyan kesef are synonymous, and they would work equally. If you need a kinyan kesef, kinyan chalipin works. Tosafot and Rashi believe here that the kinyan chalipin works just like kinyan kesef, in the fact that it completely frees the Eved. On the other hand, the Rosh and other Rishonim believe that the Kinyan Chalipin only works to gain the Kinyan Kesef, but you would still need a Get Shichrur in order to finalize or to release the woman. And here, the death of the Adon could have accomplished that. Or she would require a Get Shichrur, that the Kinyan Chalipin only helps regards to the Mamon side, does not help with regards to the Isur side, according to those Rishonim, according to Rashi and Tosafot. It works completely to replace the kinyan kesef, and she's completely free through this kinyan chalipin. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Achitai, Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yishan, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Amnuna, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. So you have all these individuals saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, supposedly what Rav Nachman had said, even though now we've rejected that Rav Nachman actually said this. Velohi, the Gemara concludes that's not the case. Ein halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. All right, from the top here, two lines on the bottom of Lamed Tet Amud Bet.